What's up, everybody? Shane, why are you raising your hand? I didn't even get to finish the hello.
I want to interject something after the intro.
Oh, all right. Well, intro's done. You ruined it. So what do you want? Yeah, this is it. We're gone. We don't edit here.
I have a question.
All right.
In the last episode, Kelly talked about...
Which, if you haven't listened to the last episode, we talked about vacation feels. So go back and listen.
But that's not even what it... She talked about calling people who are not relatives by aunt and uncle.
She said auntie.
Auntie. She did say auntie. I think that's a northern thing, though.
Yeah.
But I have a question. How many do you guys do that?
Yeah, 100%.
Like people that aren't.
Also, if you're listening, Andy's on this episode with us again.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, guys, nice welcome to meet you. To the
Kelly's also here.
Podcast.
Shane's just rearranging everything.
I jumped the gun.
Yeah, this is the weirdest intro ever.
But
I've been
thinking about this. It makes me uncomfortable when I look at someone and I go, here's Uncle Bill or here's Auntie Joe.
Well, it's not a random person, hopefully.
No,
like,
yeah, it's not random.
Well, I know that.
Let me just explain something, though.
Okay.
Where I grew up, now, I don't know, my parents had some weird things going on probably, but I had so many uncles.
The Italian household.
They weren't my real uncles.
This feels very mafia-esque.
This is also why I thought I was Italian. So growing up, I would be like, hey, Uncle Joey. And then it wasn't until middle school. I mean, that was his real name. Or like Anansi. We had like all these uncles. And so then.
Anansi?
Yeah.
What is that?
He was just my dad's friend.
Anansi?
That's a name.
Nanzi.
You have to say it like this. Okay. Anansi.
Okay, so Anansi. I had all of these guys, like men, that I thought were my uncles. And then it wasn't probably until middle school that I realized I wasn't related to them.
Oh.
This also, you guys are making it sound weird. They're so
no,
nice.
I'm going to be honest. My wife doesn't. Like her family will call people uncle so-and-so or aunt so-and-so, and they're not related, and it's just weird to
me. I'll say this, you know, because you can't choose your family, you know what I'm saying? And I don't mean this, but I think there's probably some scenarios where you're like, hey, I kind of wish that you weren't their uncle, so I'm going to call you Uncle Billy, you know, because Uncle...
Here's the thing.
Bob is not cutting it. Sorry.
We also just live so far from our family. Like, we don't have any family within, like, hundreds of miles. And so the friends... It does. And so we have different people, both, like, intentionally and unintentionally, that have, like, come into our... You're laughing. I can't tell what you're laughing at.
No. What you're saying makes very good sense.
The next time I introduce my kids to you, I'm going to say, Uncle Shane.
Uncle Shane.
Please don't do that.
Because it will make me uncomfortable.
What about Daddy Shane? What about Daddy Shane?
Absolutely not.
Then I'll just look at... Shame your kid, I'll go. I'm not your uncle. I'm not your uncle or your dad.
Okay.
Well,
so,
just so that you know, just to, you know, make you feel a little bad about my biological dad gave all my rights to my mom, and he was going to be an uncle. Then he died when I was 3. So I don't know anything about him. But anyways, not. It's okay.
What?
It is just the reality of my life. So he was going to be an uncle.
Is that a podcast episode?
No,
because I'm trying to listen to that. Sorry.
Like, I'm pretty sure they were like, he was going to be part of your life. We were going to call him an uncle, but you know, then he died when I was 3. Kelly.
All right, we need to move on to our topic.
There's nothing to be sorry about.
Let's move on to our topic.
Well, first off,
family heritage,
feelings, and emotions. Have y'all seen Inside Out 2?
Oh, I have not.
No.
Kids have. Sailor did.
Listen, y'all need to go see it because I know Shane hasn't seen it. Y'all need to go see it. It is legitimately one of the best movies Disney's ever put out.
Really? Do you not watch Disney movies?
I have.
Oh.
He also has a problem with Disney.
Oh.
Oh, do you?
Well, we talked about that before. Huh. Just going to Disney World. They're okay with movies and stuff. All right, let's go.
Anyways,
Speaking of Disney, creativity.
Disney is so creative. On today's episode, we were going to talk about cultivating creativity.
But now I'm really interested in Alex's family. I'm trying to really figure that out.
My family is crazy.
Okay, are they listening to this podcast?
Yeah, they probably will.
Okay, all right.
But my parents would agree. Not crazy, like my mom's uncle was the chiropractor for the Falcons.
Okay.
And her cousin is... or was Leslie Odom Jr.'s producer.
Okay.
Which he plays... Who does he play in Hamilton? He doesn't play Hamilton, but he plays Burr. He plays Aaron Burr in Hamilton.
Gosh,
And so, anyways, my mom's family is super
cool. I would like to apologize for everybody for just throwing just this yeah. episode way off. Yeah. I apologize.
It's okay. That's all why right. it's my job to right, see so. The
take two.
The, anyways, I apologize.
Take two. So it's okay. We all have roles, Shane. We talked about this last episode, and you tried it again in a different role, and it's all right. So anyways, cultivating creativity is what we're talking about today. That is why Andy's on as okay. our creative arts pastor.
Okay.
And so, but I think before we get into, you know, what that looks like in kids, I think it's going to be really beneficial to like, Andy, what is creativity? How would you define it? And how do you see creativity play out in like day-to-day life?
Yeah, I mean, I think in essence, like creativity is, I mean, in the world that I'm in, you know, obviously, I could say I would define creativity as problem solving.
Yeah.
Because I think some people, you'll hear people say all the time, I'm not creative. And I'm like, well, that's not true. Because if you think of creativity in, only in like colors and music and all that kind of stuff, then you're really, I think your definition of it is, but I think problem solving, like having the ability to solve a problem with creativity, just in general, I think is a great definition. I also think creativity is, I think it's something that you, I don't know if this is a definition as much as it is like a description. I think creativity is something that it doesn't feel like a job. Mm. Like I think sometimes something that you can do that's going to make you better. And so I think sometimes when creativity becomes a job, it can really kind of pull bad energy out of you. I think something that's just going to probably push you, challenge you in different areas. And so I hate to really kind of put creativity in the corner of like music and, yeah. You know, acting or songwriting or lighting. Well, I hate to put it in just that corner because there's so many different, you know, there's so many different ways, you know, where creativity plays out.
Sometimes I think of curiosity as, or of creativity as the art of curiosity.
Yes.
Yeah. Of just yeah. exploring and making something out of nothing sometimes. Yes. Yeah. Or I love what you said about creativity is so often problem solving.
Yeah.
Because it's looking at something with the ability to say, what if?
Yeah.
Or imagine if. Yeah. And I love that.
Looking at possibilities.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great, curiosity I think is a really great, yeah, it's a great description.
I think that's, as someone who views, I view myself as not being creative, hearing those two definitions, that like that's awesome. I've never heard it mm-hmm. explained either way like that.
Yeah.
And so as parents, that helps us, as a parent, that helps me go, oh, that's not, all right, he's over here and they're over there. But you can look at that as a whole in all your kids
yeah.
and seek out creativity.
Yeah.
Within them that they may not know they had. So I love that. I love both those definitions.
I also think about God created us
yeah.
in his image
yeah.
and he created us to be creative. Yeah. And so there are so many different ways that we can worship God through our creativity or through the ways that we design and make things and express ourselves.
Yeah. One more thing. I was going to say, like, with us, you know, obviously Long Hollow, we're a church. Like, we have a creative team, you know.
Right.
And I always, like, in some ways, like, I laugh at that. I mean, I love that. I love that we have a team that focuses on creativity. But I think that sometimes it can be a little bit of a cop-out for others to go, oh, we'll just depend on the creatives to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man, I just feel like there's a creative inside you. Now, I will say that there are some people that are just really gifted at a certain thing, like a yeah. unique thing that are better than you, and they need to do that. They need to be thinking about that. You don't need to be thinking about that. But I think when we start compartmentalizing creativity into that belongs over here, or that belongs over there, or I'm not creative, I really feel like that we're not living or stepping into the identity that God has put within us as to be like the creator creating us to be, I mean, honestly, to be creators,
yeah.
you know, to some extent.
I mean, what was the first thing that God, one of the first things that God told Adam to do was go name all the animals.
Yeah.
And like, that's, I mean, even yeah. it's funny because people like joke about like, it's like, oh, it looks like this and this. So it's like, but Adam still had to like be creative in
yeah.
naming everything yeah. from the start. But I think, Shane, I don't know about your household, but like with your husband being like a filmmaker or editor, and then obviously with what you do, like
yeah.
how do you guys, all three of you, allow the creativity and curiosity to flow in your house? Not in like a feng shui kind of thing, but like in a, like how do you allow it to be birthed and not squash it without, but letting your kids have the freedom to, you know, dream and everything, but, you know, not hold them back.
I think we kind of have this mantra of just stay curious. Like, I'll say that to my kids all the time, and they'll ask me questions, and I'll just kind of counter back, like, hey, what do you think? I think another thing that Mark and I have intentionally done is to try to create space in our home for creativity. Right. And I mean, like, actual physical spaces. Like, hey, we're going to put a table here, and it's specifically for all of their art projects and all of this. Or, hey, we've got all these instruments. We're going to intentionally put them up on the wall and put the drum set here and let them have at it. So I think by being intentional to just create environments where the kids know, like, hey, I can go up there and I can beat on those drums and I'm not going to bother anybody. I'm not going to get in trouble for making too much noise or being too loud. But it's an environment where we say, hey, yeah, go have fun, go explore, go create, go make some music, go do what it is that God has put in your heart to explore. So I think for us, that's been really helpful. And then the other side of it is I don't love screen time for my kids. And I tell them all the time, which don't hate me, but I'm like, the screens are going to ruin your brain. It's going to kill your creativity. It's going to kill your imagination. Like, I say this to my children, and I have to remind them, don't say this to your friends, but this is just how I think. And so the other day, my kids also love screen time, like, are addicted to it. And so the other day, my daughter was begging me to watch a show, and I just was like, no, like, you're just not going to do it. So, like, 30 minutes go on, and she's begging, she's whining and complaining. I just said no. I said, figure something out. Go do something. Well, I go, I'm doing my thing. I come back, and I look, and she's sitting on our couch with a sketch pad and just drawing a still life of our living room. And no joke, it was good. And awesome. I was just watching and I was like, you know what? Thank you for this moment because I needed that reminder as a parent. Because I'll be honest, I wanted to cave so many times and just be like, I'm just going to put on a movie. I'm so sick of listening to her complain and beg. But I was reminded in that moment of like, nope, let me hold my ground and say no, because I just remember as a kid being bored, and boredom breeds creativity.
Yeah.
So that's hard as a parent when you feel the need to occupy your kids.
Right.
But when you've created spaces and freedom for kids to explore and just be kids, like, here's the thing, it's gonna be messy, it's gonna be loud.
Yeah.
I look at my husband all the time because he's like, one toy at a time, clean that up. I'm like, that's not real life. Like, it's going to be chaotic. It's going to be messy.
Right.
But in the end, it's going to be, they're going to have a lot of fun doing it. So I think realizing the expectations, knowing like what your boundaries are as a parent, like, and figuring out a space where you, like, you can just let your kids kind of have fun and explore.
Yeah.
I think for us, and one of the first things you said was a curiosity. We, at some point in time, we stop letting our kids ask questions. And they start to lose that. They start to lose that curiosity. They start to lose that creativity. And actually, studies have shown that when they hit elementary school and they've grown up asking questions because they're curious, and now all of a sudden there's this different structure and they quit getting to ask questions is when some of them start to lose some of that. And so being patient and letting them ask those questions, even though you've answered it 400 times, even though, and so I think that's one thing. Boredom is another thing. One of the things we found out in COVID, during COVID, was we created space. We wouldn't let our kids sit on screens the whole time,
right?
You know, during COVID. And so we went to, what's the craft store?
Hobby Lobby.
Hobby Lobby, thank you. You see how much I go. We went to Hobby Lobby and just got some painting supplies and just said, hey, you're going to spend some time in here and you don't have to paint anything. You can just look at it. But it was cool because they came out and all of a sudden your kids are like, hey, look what I did.
Yeah.
And then I think the third thing is embrace the things that they enjoy. I've never been a Lego person. I'm horrible at them. I don't have the patience for them. But Crew, my youngest, loves them. And so I would sit down in the room with him and he wouldn't let me touch it. But he would let me hand him the pieces.
Right.
And so I could never put one on. But just so now I'm spending time with him and I'm letting him do what he loves. I'm letting him do what lets his brain fly. And so, like I said, for me, it was torture. to sit down and do Legos,
right.
to sit down and or paint, that type of stuff has never appealed to me. But when my son wanted to do it, to sit down and go, all right, what can I do? Dad, you find the pieces and hand them to me. And I was like, well, that doesn't seem very creative. but he loved it because now Dad and I are doing something together. Right. But he's doing something he loves, and he's doing something that lets his mind grow and fly. And so I think those three things, and like I said, Kelly already said two of them, but I think that's so important because think about it. You come home at the end of the day, you're tired, and your kid's asking 47 questions, and you just want to go to bed or go do this. But instead, answering those questions and asking questions back, it keeps that curiosity and it keeps that creativity.
I would agree with all that. I think the best thing that you can do is provide spaces, you know, provide environments that say, hey, we support and we are we're creating spaces for them to enjoy life, you know, and to enjoy. I think one of the things, I mean, I know that we're kind of hating on screen time, but when we moved into our house, when we moved into the neighborhood, the first thing I saw were like kids out riding their bike, you know, playing football, you know, the things I did when I was a kid, and I didn't even see the house. I just told Kristen, this is the neighborhood we're going to raise our kids in. Hmm. I think one of the biggest things that I think will spur on creativity is just letting the kids. I know we got to be protective of them, so I'm not saying be careless. I mean, and we should be cautious, but I wouldn't just be like so protective that we just don't let them go out and just go. Let them play in a ditch. Like let them, I mean, I remember days where it's like, man, I'm like getting crawdads from under rocks, you know, rocks and stuff like that. I told them we don't have a pool, and so they all wanted to go to the pool. Well, the community pool, like it cost a fortune to go to. We don't have the membership to go to that. And they're like, okay, what do we do? I'm like, I don't know. Figure it out. And right. I go inside, and like 20 minutes later, I walk back outside, and there's like, they like filled up all of our coolers that we had, and there's like that was their pool, you know. And I'm like, that's awesome because literally they spent 2 hours doing that, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's small things that I think gives them the confidence later on in life. I think going back to what you said, Shane, about asking questions, I was just thinking about that. I think there was a point in time where I stopped asking questions because I was afraid that I looked stupid, you know. I didn't want to admit that I didn't know because it would make me feel like I was stupid, you know. And I think allowing the kids and encouraging kids to keep asking questions, because the moment you stop asking questions, the moment you kind of paralyze yourself. And I'll be honest with you, if I could go back in time, I think that'd be one thing about myself that I wouldn't have been afraid to ask questions. You know, I don't understand this. Can you help me understand that? That just teaches something about. Yeah, I think it goes back to the curiosity thing. So.
But that even, that's the case in church, in our church world.
Yeah.
So many people sit through a message and they've got questions or a life group and they've got questions and they don't want to ask it because they don't want to look dumb or they don't want to look. And what we've happened is we've created this society where everyone sits there and nods their head, but nobody understands.
Yeah.
And if we could get back to, hey, let's ask questions. I tell when our interns start, one of the things I tell them is you have to ask questions. The best way you will learn is by asking questions. Yeah. And that's that. I think that's so important. I think it's so important for our kids to do that and our kids to know that it's a safe place to ask a question and they're not going to be made fun of and they're not going to be yelled at and they're not going to be embarrassed for it.
You know, here's another thing, and you probably have a list of questions, but – this is something that I'm telling like the team that I lead, creatives, is, you know, don't be afraid to fail. And I'll say that I've kind of something that I've kind of adopted as my phrase, like sometimes you're going to fail, sometimes you're going to succeed, but both times you should progress, you know? And so like for my kids, and I'm not great at this, actually, I'm probably really bad at this. If Selah does something where it's kind of like a fail, like I'm prone to like either like get on to her or like I'm just like quick to correct, you know. And I think we should correct and I think we should do all those things. But I also think we are living in like this a culture where it's like there's just afraid of failure.
Yeah.
And I just think there's so much. You think the first rocket that was ever made like went off without a hit. Like, no, I think there was probably 100 failures to get to the success. Yeah. So I think that there's something to be said about living a life that's not afraid to fail, because I mean, if that failure doesn't happen, then I'm not even quite sure you actually progress in whatever it is that you want. And so that's something I need to practice more of. You know, not to get so hard on my kids, but it's like, because the moment you get, they start getting scared and they don't want to fail, you know?
We want to help our kids and even ourselves be willing to take risks.
Yeah.
And we learn so much through the failure. Like, yeah. I look back at my life and some of the greatest lessons I learned were through some of my greatest failures, honestly.
100%.
It's not those moments of, like, success where it just kind of came easy. It's those moments where it was really difficult or 100%. Challenging or didn't turn out how I expected. And so I try to help my kids understand that, like, I'm not disappointed in you when you've tried something new or scary and you failed. I'm actually super proud of you.
Yeah.
So I think on a practical point, just, like, reminding our kids through, like, verbal affirmation or celebrating, like, hey, I'm proud that you attempted this thing. Maybe it was a huge flop, but like, you're not going to make that same mistake twice because now you felt the failure. You know what I mean? Like, that spurs you on.
That's so good. Yeah, that's a good word.
I read this article one time, and is this lady she owns a company and she's making millions of dollars, and she talked about how her dad would ask her every week, "What did you try? What did you fail at?" And then what did you learn? So those three questions every week: what did you try, what did you fail at, and what did you learn? And she said it helped me just be creative. It helped me learn. It helped me see failure not as something bad, but something I can learn from and get better.
Mm-hmm.
And I just since then, like my kids will come home and say, "I did this" or "I tried this," and I go, "That's awesome." And they go, "But Dad, I go, no, you didn't fail.
Yeah.
What did you learn? What is it that you got better at? What is it that you figured out for the next time?"
Yeah.
And that's so important.
It sounds like there's a common theme of the questions we ask can really help cultivate creativity. Even like, I'm trying to think about practical ways. If I'm a parent, what can I do? Like at the dinner table, in the car, wherever you're at, when your kids come to you with a problem of just saying, "Well, what do you think you should do about it? How would you solve that?" Like, don't just be so quick to jump in, but let them explore options and just flip the tables and say, "All right, try it." Like, let them actually go and do that thing that sounds so off the wall and so crazy.
But what's the, like, cutoff spot? Like, where?
Imminent death.
They're going to go kill them.
Or jail time.
Yeah.
But, like, sin. But like, how do you, especially when they're younger or, like, you know, trying to keep them safe, things like that, which I think – I read once, statistically, the world is no more dangerous than it was 50 years ago. We just are more aware of it.
Yeah.
So just in case you're sitting there going like, "No, it's too dangerous." No. It's, the world's not any more dangerous. We're just more aware. But how do you keep your kids safe in the midst? Or like, what is the cutoff? Like, how do you go like, "All right, that's enough questions for today. Bring them back tomorrow." Like, what is that cutoff?
So I've read this thing about if you're a parent and you ever tell your kids like, "Oh, be careful." Like if they're climbing a structure, you're like, "Oh, be careful." And I've tried to stop saying that. And instead, I try to say, "Hey, what's your next move? What are you planning to do next?" And I'm trying to help my kids think critically and strategically about the choices that they're making. Now, that's super basic, like when they're toddlers at the playground or they're trying to climb something they've never done before. But even in real life, "Hey, what's your plan here? What are you trying to do?" Because sometimes kids are just kids and they're just doing things mindlessly. And so rather than being so quick to come in and correct, I try to just like help direct their thought process, if that makes sense.
Right.
And I intervene when it's actually dangerous. Like when you're going to run into the street, when you're going to hurt somebody, those are the times. If you're going to sin, those are the times I'm going to say, "Hey, we're going to stop that right there."
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think there's part of me that doesn't even know how to answer that question because I don't know exactly where the line is. I do think that if it's like, you know, this is a line like, Selah, you can go out and you can go outside, you know, to play, you know, but as soon as those lights in the street come on, you need to be home. Well, if the lights in the street are on and 20 minutes later, I haven't seen you walk through the door, there's a problem. And so I think creating boundaries, I definitely don't think that, I mean, we're parents here. So like, there's going to be moments where like your kid is going to be curious at the wrong moment. You know, they're going to be curious about things. You're like, I'm not curious right now. You know, this is not a great environment to like really kind of flourish your curiosity. Like, get out of my face, go to your room, that type of thing. But I think I have to really watch myself like proportionally on that. Like, I'm going, okay, yesterday I didn't allow them in. Like, I didn't allow my kids in because I was tired. So today I got to let them in, you know? And so I don't know. I don't know. I don't think I do a great job of this, but I think honestly, it's like, you definitely look at their safety. But I'm not quite, other than that, I'm not quite sure where the line is, you know?
I like your idea for boundaries, though, because we do something similar. We've got, like, these fire hydrants in the neighborhood, so I can tell my kids, like, when I step out my front door, I can see two fire hydrants on either end of my street.
Yeah.
So we tell the kids, you can go anywhere between those two places. You can't go in other people's yards, yeah, but, like, anywhere right there. And so I think giving them kind of, like, the confines or the boundaries of, like, you can explore and be as curious as you want within this context. Yeah. You can't be so curious that you run, like, you know,
yeah,
two neighborhoods over where it's unsafe.
Right.
So I think that's a good approach.
I think sometimes it is case by case. I think when your kid's asking questions and it's time for bed and they're just asking questions, that's when you go, hey, we're going to finish this tomorrow. Because you know, yeah, they're asking 100% questions to stay up. They're asking questions because they don't want,
in the morning.
Like Cutter, who, if you know Cutter, he's a very large kid, but he will come in and he'll crawl in bed with us and just start asking questions when it's time for his bedtime. And I'm like, and then he goes, Dad, you don't love me? I go, no, I do love you, yeah, but you're doing this to stay up. You're not doing this because you really care.
Hey, dude, I'm off the clock.
And so you do. You have to go case by case. You have to look at safety. You have to look at context. So there are times where you go, all right, we'll finish this tomorrow, or we can ask questions tomorrow. But it's because you understand what they're trying to do, right, or you understand that there's something down the road that could hurt them or, right, you know, scar them. And so I think that's kind of the way you balance those.
Yeah. Well, Andy, thank you so much for joining us for another episode. I think you're the only repeat guest we've had so far.
Okay.
So appreciate you being on. We didn't say it at the top because Shane just, you know, took over and everything. Well, we are live from Kids Camp, and so Timmy is back there listening to us talk. Timmy, thanks for getting all the audio stuff working. I wish you had a mic like a producer.
Thanks for your creativity, Timmy.
So if y'all are ever at Long Hollow, you know, just go say hey to Timmy. He's in the booth out in the middle of the floor. So give Timmy a wave. He'll enjoy it. But if you're listening, you want to be part of the conversation, all you have to do is text parent to 98173. That's parent, PARENT, to 98173. And you can be part of our conversation. And if you know someone that would benefit from this conversation, please share the episode with them. We'd love for as many people to be blessed by this as possible. And so, I don't think I have anything else. Shane, Kelly, y'all have anything?
No, thanks for having us.
I apologize for derailing.
It's okay. You did. You tried your best. You know, you're trying to be creative and curious.
It's what you do, bro. It's what you do.
So, Andy, thanks so much for being on, and awesome. We'll catch you guys next week. See ya.